Welcome to the Rental Boys Podcast. Your host here, Xavier Kelly, and my partner.
What's up, guys? Eddie Salceda.
In our podcast, we talk about tips and tricks to help you along in your party rental business. Me and Eddie currently run a party rental business in the DFW area where we do a little bit less than $400,000 a year. We just started about a year and a half ago, and this podcast is really built for those who are trying to get started and grow in the industry.
Three of the best purchases we've made to grow and protect our rental business. Number one, rental, a rental platform that works as your website to manage your business. Number two, we have A2B, gas cards for your employees to manage fleet expenses. We've been swiping ever since 2020. Number three is going to be Next Insurance, business insurance that has saved us tens of thousands of dollars. We have been protected ever since 2019. Check out the show's notes and sign up through the links. It costs you nothing to sign up for rental and A2B. Insurance quotes are free from Next Insurance. Doing this helps the podcast grow. Thank you all for your support and love.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about where we are as a business so far, where we kind of expect ourselves to be, and also to some opportunities we see in the market, and just some general just conversation over some issues and some things that have gone well this year. Just kind of like a general recap. So we'll see you in the episode. Make sure you stay tuned. All right, so we're going to want to give you the juicy stuff that you want to know, or that you should want to know probably. I'm pretty sure most of you guys want to know this. Only thing I care about, came here for.
Is the numbers?
Yeah. What size shoe do you wear, Eddie?
Depends on what day you catch me. All right. No, I was just playing. So, yeah, as far as numbers, I'm guessing that's what you have me add up right now. All right. So, right now, currently, we are at $1,149,452 with 55 cents.
Yeah. So, that's our earned revenue. That's not just our sales are higher than that, but that's our earned revenue, just of based on the work that we've actually are going to do and stuff like that for this year. I'm pretty sure this is going to be close to 1.5 by the end of the year, just because we're getting into the busy season and we got a lot of stuff on the tables already. But this is going to be a very interesting year right here. Last year, we finished around, like, I don't remember the exact number, but a little bit underneath a million, and now we're going to do about 50% more. I feel like we could have did more, but we had some things that we had to do from our standpoint to reset ourselves and to work out our profit and everything like that. But we're getting back onto it. First, I just want to talk about probably the things that I felt were issues this year and Eddie felt were issues and kind of where we are. We'll do a full recap thing at the end of the year, but this is just a general update. So hopefully you guys can find some value in it. Eddie, what do you say with a couple of the issues that you've seen this year that we resolved?
Issues that we resolved, I think, was going to be our back-end team. I think that was, like, a huge game changer. Just the amount of things that they take off of our plate. I mean, obviously, you and me are doing a podcast right now, so I mean, if it wasn't for those guys, I mean, we wouldn't be able to do this. I think before you were doing majority of the phone call answering, and also we had, I think, like two or three people that were doing the same thing. But we basically started our own kind of call center training. That thing has been a huge impact, I believe, in the business. And also we're able to, you know, get to those customers a lot faster when they're calling in. It's going to, you know, resolve the issue of making the sale, because I think what we found out is, you know, the person calls and they're not going to call back again. If they call and we get back to them within a minute or 2 minutes, then we're more likely to, you know, make that sale. But, I think that's a big thing that we've kind of gotten and it's worked out for us very well.
Yeah. I think another issue that we kind of put together, I would say, is this from a standpoint of of really starting to document. I mean, we're not finished with this, I won't say, but we finished a lot of it. But starting to document a lot of our procedures across the board so we can make this repeatable. One thing we did do, we removed back our some of our operations this year, which you would thought would be a down thing, but like we moved our Austin operation, moved all our stuff back to our home base so we can beef up our home base and we can get the system down more fine and stuff like that. And because we had some, I would say it was like money issues down there and things like that. It's just that like we were performing like so much better up here. And I mean like a lot, like tremendously up here. And so our whole thing is kind of like, how do we position this where we can get all our systems down? So this is coming from when someone first sees our message, comes to our website, someone talks to the first person they talk to, the booking process, what leads to the expectations being done, all the way to them doing us, you know, doing a sale, the payment, getting their receipts, and then going to the other side and getting the follow-up to know, like, all the items they have, getting all the communication down, leading to our drivers reaching out to them beforehand, getting them scheduled, all that stuff, getting items dropped off clean and in good shape where it's supposed to be at, or generally area that they were wanted in based off the contract, picking it up, them having a good experience, and them giving us a 5-star review, and then telling someone else, and then repeating the process. Like, I know that's a lot right there, but I'm trying to say, like, us building the whole process back together and figuring out how we're going to do this so we can make this replicable. Because, like, one of our goals, which I think it'd be fine if I'm standing right here, one of our goals eventually is that, like, well, the reason why we do this real podcast, really, I think it's going to be the biggest one reason is that, like, we want to help you guys and stuff like that. But eventually, you know, we want to expand our business out more places. So, like, in the future, we're going to start acquiring other, you know, other smaller event places that, you know, and we can take our system and put them in place and running stuff there. And then keep spanning out more and more and just doing kind of general roll-ups with the experience we have. And moving from there.
I think I really like the, I think this year is like a big year because we've come a long way. I know a lot of stuff, like you say, you know, I'm real short-sighted on things and you're more far-sighted. Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't say it like no, that. That sounds but mean. it's not mean, but I'm saying like some of the things, like when we first started off, I know I was kind of like in my mind, I was thinking that, you know, I'm just going to be making deliveries all the time and doing all this other stuff. And, you know, you were able to see that, you know, if we create these processes, eventually, you know, the torch gets handed down and then they run it. So that's one thing that I could say for sure. This past year, I've really felt a huge difference. I mean, I don't even think we really don't go out for any deliveries. I mean, that's another thing. We got like actual like delivery manager this year, which is really significantly taking a lot off the plate. I think that's been a big help. He's actually on vacation right now, so I was gonna say I really don't go out, but since he's been gone, I've been trying to, you know, help out and fill the role. But I mean, to be quite honest with you, like, you know, what's going on with the drivers, them doing their routes and everything like that, I mean, I have zero involvement. Our dispatchers handle all that. So, like you said, the whole system that we built has really come together very well, and it's makes me feel like, you know, an actual owner, not really an operator. You know, it's a great feeling. I think that's one thing that I know we're trying to give tips and stuff like that for the people that are listening to us. To kind of eventually, you know, build herself into that. But yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing this year is just all these systems that we've produced, trial and error and stuff like that. But it's really paying off. You know, today being an example, what's able to do this right now.
Yeah. And so kind of based on what I just said right here. I know at first, I want to call it short-sighted. I want to say you're short-sighted. I never said that.
Well, you always say, like, one thing, like, I think one thing you always said, like, I don't know if it, did you say this or maybe I made it up in my head, but you said it's like we're on a ship and you're on the very top on the mast and you're seeing way out there, But I'm good at seeing all the stuff that's like nearby us, like because I'm at the bottom of the deck, I can see all the stuff that's close by. But you're good at seeing the stuff way over there. And that's how we compliment it. I don't know if you told me that or in my mind I made that up.
I think we worked through that together.
Yeah,
that was the system on that part. But I think I don't know. I think me saying that on your skills was short sighted too. But me saying that on there, that being said, because realistically, the whole point of you building a business is, or not you specifically, but you out there.
Yeah, the listeners.
Yeah, you listeners. I'm out there. It's for us, all of us, to build a business is hopefully to get some type of freedom. And that can be a freedom to choose what you want to do, a freedom to be able to, you know, like Eddie did, to take your daughter to something during the middle of the day and do some stuff like that. Yeah. Freedom to, you know, if you want to, you want to be home, you can be home and work. Like whatever you want to do, or not work, or go on vacation, or, you know, generally do anything you want to do. That's kind of the goal on that. And to be honest, if we weren't trying to push to the goals that we're trying to get to, I believe with what we already have, that part could be accomplished. We can easily regroup things around there, regroup back to one warehouse and get back down, and pretty much our system will run by itself. All the issues that most of the biggest issues that we currently have right now are specifically because we have multiple warehouse locations, and we run a system that has all the inventory across the whole thing. So the customer, it seems like it's one for them. They don't have to go to a certain location, get the stuff. We get the stuff there, and it plays out very well, especially when it works the way that it does, which most times it does. We do have some stress points coming up, but that's why we're looking kind of more into like getting someone to do movement and stuff like that, to do preloading specifically when we've been tracking that, because how much we're paying people every week to do movement anyway. I believe we have enough budget to just make that into someone's full-time position. And then we'll lead that back into going back into preloading. Because when we just had one location, I'm not going to lie, we got to a point where it got a lot easier. It just got to a point where, like, you go to a location, everything's there. And then you don't have to worry about stuff. If everything comes in, everything comes back there. I do believe this is going to be something in the future that'll be bigger. But it has become challenging. At the latest right here. We've been working through this. And I actually feel for the first time, like first time I was like, dang, did we make a mistake? But now we see the benefits of it. And now we just got to button up a couple things, you know, and cross our T's, dot our I's, and get the process kind of moving so we can get the people in the right places on there. Because we've had almost every single issue that you can think of. We've had people issues. We've had inventory issues, we've had sales issues, and we've had vehicle issues and space issues too. Was that five of them?
Yeah, space.
Yeah.
That one's interesting. You negotiated our comeback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. but that also too, doing that, literally, because at one time we were hindering ourselves because we were doing everything out of our smallest location.
Yeah.
And then us pending having too many people there and on the verge of getting our lease taken off and stuff like that, literally just we on the process of trying to get ready for that, we end up getting our way back into it and also using our other warehouses to the full capabilities.
Yeah,
which actually really helped us out in that part. It was actually like it was a soft push, but it worked out in that part. Cause I know Eddie at first was, because Eddie got the mindset of, you know, like they're not on our side, and then then we just keep rolling, do what we got to do. But in other words, I really thought that at one point in time I was like, well, maybe we should just go back and regroup back down to a smaller version. I think we had these conversations and stuff too as well.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we see customers and how they say and how they talk to us and how it's just beneficial. Because for us, it's for you as a you know, as you said, like an owner operator or kind of operating the business from a higher level, it's more beneficial for you to have everything in one place. It just makes everything easier on that part. But for the customer, it does. I think in the whole situation where you get everything done faster and getting everything correctly, it's easier for them. But other than that, you're further away from them, they cost more, you charge more, all that stuff like that, that has to be done. And as Eddie said in another podcast we had before, when people don't see the city name or see something near their city, they kind of go ahead and just like phase out of stuff on there. I'm pretty sure, you know, some jobs people just look for stuff that's specifically in an area, because technically we're not like in Dallas, we're in Irving, which is right next to Dallas. Some people just don't care because they understand it, but some people don't see Dallas on there and they just don't call because it doesn't say Dallas. And some people before who didn't see Fort Worth, you know, just don't call. And even like with our warehouses, I think we've done a pretty good job on two of our warehouses, specifically our Fort Worth warehouse. I think we did a really good job of picking that place out, because like you won't imagine how great it is to have easy access to a highway, like where you can easily get on the highway in 2 to 3 minutes. Our Frisco location, which Eddie lives closer to, he'll probably tell you like that one right there, like it is in a good spot for people, but it's a terrible spot to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
The surrounding areas.
Yeah. That one is something else. And, you know, I live the closest, but yet sometimes it still takes me like 20 odd minutes, 25 minutes just to get there. It's just because the way that it's set up is like you can't get there fast. There's like
three one lanes.
Yeah, there's only one street to it. And it's not like a highway. Well, the tollway is on the back end, but even at that, it's just.
It's not even like that far. How far is it from the house?
It's like 25 minutes.
No, but how many miles?
Not very many miles. Yeah. I think it's like less than 10.
All right, you guys don't go look 10 miles away from us. They're trying to find Eddie's house. Don't be showing up at his house.
Yeah, come on. Got something for you. No, that's fine.
Especially if you got some food, we can talk.
Oh yeah, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that one's pretty good too. I think because like we said, we needed something on that side, and it serves its purpose. It's a pain to get to it, you know, especially on certain times of the day. You know, if it's 5 o'clock, then should get ready for like, you know, you're gonna be there maybe like 40 minutes, 30 minutes trying to get back. Or the same thing, like if it's 9, you're gonna be looking around the same time. It just depends on what type of time of the day.
Yeah, because I would say you probably think the same thing. I think our biggest issues we have right now is just making sure everything's in the right place.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something like, you know, I think it's a good thing because like, it's not a good thing that, you know, that's a problem, but you know, in business, I believe that you know, you're always gonna have new challenges, and that's gonna differentiate you from the rest, because you know, some people, they would, like I said, they would see this challenge and they wouldn't even touch it. They'd say, oh, you know, I just do one warehouse. Whereas us, you know, we see the benefit in it, but we just need to get the fine details on getting it to where it makes sense. And I mean, right now, just as far as the money flowing through, it shows that it's making sense. We just need to get the problem kind of solved, whether we throw, you know, well, we're going to throw more manpower at it. But also tactically doing it, because you know, we don't want to put any more vehicles on our our monthly expenses.
Yeah.
But you know, we use like the third shift and kind of use the same vehicles, kind of thing. Then that would be pretty good. But yeah, just stuff like that. It's working out very well.
I would say that's like problem number one. And if we get that solved, like I mean, most of you guys who we're talking to, you probably never have this issue. You might rather think about it. I'm not trying to scare anyone, like most times you start off, you not have this issue.
Yeah.
And most companies, you know, don't have this issue and won't ever have this issue. This is just our issue. Just that the issue that we have, because based on how we set our stuff up and what we're trying to do for the future and trying to scale out on there. But I would say the next issue is the issue that you probably would have on this part here. We've had a real interesting problem with vehicles this year. We've basically been renting vehicles almost the whole year, because we had all of our vehicles, literally every single last one of them, go down in January. Was January right?
Yeah.
Every single last one would go down. And like, so we had to make a choice at the time, because we weren't as financially fit as we are now. Because of some of the choices that we ended up making this year that helped us get to this point and working on our profitability. But we had a choice to either to fix the vehicles or to fix them and then cancel all the stuff for the next couple of weeks during our slowest time, or to, you know, just rent so we can do the work so we can still get paid. And I do believe now that if we had our systems the way we have them now, we would have just been able to wave the storm for those 2 weeks and we would have got them fixed and they've been done. Would have been fine. But at the time, that was not possible. It was either one or the other. And then who knows when it's going to fix it. And then based on what we know now, which one of the places we took it to. Because we actually made efforts to fix it still. We took one to a place. We got the truck back 6-7 months later. It's still not fixed. And we're still spending money on it now, too, to get it fixed by someone who actually know what they're doing on there. It was just a general mistake. Then, you talk to people and you think people are doing good work and stuff. But then, got to read those reviews.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing, obviously, I think in business, you're always going to have these headaches. I know we can't say it on the podcast, but that little Instagram video that you sent me this morning that's actually my favorite guy, and maybe that's why everyone says I'm grumpy all the time, because I'm just like I always watch him, and I think he's just funny. What's his name? Dana Pena. I'm messing that up. and the thing it says I won't get into the graphic parts, but everyone congratulates you, I guess when you're successful, but they don't understand all the problems that you went through just to get to that point. But he went a little bit more graphic stuff, but
yeah, he's talking about being pregnant,
yeah, like
and other stuff.
Yeah,
around
yeah, but stuff like that, I think it's pretty cool because we get to get on here and talk about it. And there's so much stuff to talk about because we go through so many trials and errors and headaches, and you and me are looking at each other like, And then you're like, I told you. But the good thing is,
you say that too.
What?
I swear you're trying to set things up, and then I know sometimes you'd be mad when it actually works out the opposite way. You'd be like, well, everyone's supposed to do that. Yeah. And he'd be like, because this situation happened, that's why this happened.
Yeah,
because I remember on the pop-ups, pop-ups be selling.
The pop-up tents?
And we haven't even got that system all the way down, which, I don't know, that's one thing too.
One thing I think I've learned is, at the time, we just grab what we can, but now, the bigger that we're getting, I see the same of everything is, necessary. And also, you need to see what the benefits of each item that you have versus getting other ones. For instance, the pop-ups. That manufacturer, the Easy, whatever, you can buy the parts individually. To the screw, every single part on there you can buy. And they have a warranty on the thing.
The first one was really terrible.
Which one?
The one from Global Events and Event Stable.
Oh, the metal ones? But they were so cheap.
Maybe they changed it because Atlas did buy them. So
they did not change it.
Maybe they changed it. Hopefully they changed it.
I don't think
so. They needed to change it. If they didn't change it, it's an issue. And they call it commercial. And I'm not, I will give them this. The metal portion of it will hold up. The problem is it's just a terrible design, though. It's you have great materials, terrible design. That metal is hard. It's hard, thick, heavy, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But just the way it is designed is it kind of defeats the whole purpose of it actually being, better material on there.
But stuff like that is just is a process, I think. Yeah. Business itself. We'd be getting better every year.
And we removed the part that was hurting us the most. We would set it up, and if you set something up, you're responsible for it till it gets down.
Much, yeah.
And so we would set it up, and people would be having this in hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff, and then wonder why the tent's not still there.
Why is it broken? All the water. He's like, y'all set it up.
Yeah. And then we just stopped doing setup on those. Yeah. And we know some people mine and stuff, they still do that stuff. And maybe it works for them down in Houston, but up here, it's we put out a lot more than them. I don't know, but we had people sending us videos of the tents going across their front yard.
Flying all over the place.
Yeah.
It's ring video, flying.
Yeah. People chasing it.
I told you to take them sidewalls off. It's a big kite.
Yeah. And then he's almost like, oh, we had a party. It's such a great time. And we just forgot. And we woke up.
And the thing's busted.
The tent's next to the window, being on the window. Help, help.
Yeah.
But even Eddie had an interesting, I think, discussion with someone on Facebook about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I'm part of that, rental knowledge group or whatever. And, that's the thing. I think everybody's goals are different. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, the guy's argument is like, why don't you just buy something that's like not going to break? That way you don't have to have these issues, which is good. If that was his business plan, that just never ever having to fix it, or if you do fix it, it's gonna be like once every 3 years or something.
Even though I've never seen anything not break.
Yeah, but what he was saying is like, why don't you buy like a High Peak 10 or something, like a West Coast.
But we have all those.
Yeah, I know we do. But so I'm giving golden information here to this guy. So I'm like, okay, that's nuggets. Fine. I said, but I bet that one 10x10 pop up will outdo yours. Your one, you know, High Peak or whatever commercial tent, because, you know, whenever they break, you know, we charge a customer for that, and they're basically paying for you to grow. So, you know, like Xavier said, we put in the contract that, hey, this is just for shade only. You know, if there's any rain or any excessive wind, then you need to take this thing down. But I think if you've been in the business, you know, with any kind of experience, you know that customers, they're going to do what they want to do.
Especially when they're drinking.
Huh? Yeah, and then they try to play victim. But in the end of the day, you know, they pay regardless. Yeah. But what we do with that money is they pay for the tent. Like I said, the parts, you can get them fixed. And then we just go around and we buy another tent. So now I have two tents.
Or we trip up and we have a warranty on
it. Yeah, or you have a warranty on it. You
can buy another one, warranty, and fix the old one.
So all this stuff comes into play. And then now we have two to three pop-up tents now. And then through the course of a year, I mean, you can increase your inventory like, I don't know, like tenfold, sometimes even like 20-fold doing this.
Yeah.
And then now that your one pop-up tent is outdoing that one commercial tent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And also, too, you just drop those off and go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're way easier.
Boop, drop gun, off and go. And I'm then done. When you get it, check it.
Yeah, when you get it, you open it up, check it, make sure everything's good.
Yeah.
But stuff like that, just like strategies that we've used just to increase our inventory, increase profitability. But yeah, his whole argument is like, you know, then after he heard when I talked about profitability, he couldn't say anything. So he said, well, you know, you can really hurt somebody. You know, you try to use a safety thing, like, you know, safety, you should use this. But in reality, you know, it's up to the customer whether they want something that's going to be safe, which is going to be like the commercial West Coast or High Peak, which, yeah, it's going to be way more sturdier. Nothing's going to happen. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have the option. You want to be cheaper, you can pay this amount. If you want us to be more tailored, then we've set up everything. But, you know, it's all on the customer. At the end of the day, we're not putting a gun in their head and say, you're going to buy this, and this is the only option that you have. We give them options, whatever they're for their budget.
Because you got three things. What is it? You can get it fast, cheap, or good.
No.
But you only can get two of those.
Yeah.
And on most things you do. And I understand the thing he's saying, get the thing. But our whole point that I think Eddie was even telling him, making him, that he somehow didn't get to the very end, is that, like you can't sell someone something that they don't want. Like, people are specifically asking for this for a certain reason. And you're trying to sell them something else. And that's one thing we've seen. We had issues at first because, like, they used to say, like, well, they need this. I'm like, well, hey, they keep telling me they don't want that. And I keep telling them everything they want to see. They say they still don't care. All they want is the pop-up. And then the problem I think we had that kind of set us free was us doing the setup part. Like, when we did that, I think Eddie's whole vision of it changed. Because Eddie was saying, at first was saying, you know what you're telling me? We take them out, and then we came to that conclusion. Me and him talked about it, figured out what the initial root of the problem is.
Mm.
We removed that problem, and then after that, he's probably one of the biggest champions on there. When I heard him say that, I was like, because this is early on too, on that, because I think everyone has that thing, because that's what it is. It is, but the thing is though, like, the customer wants, like as Eddie was saying, the customer wants to pay has a certain amount of money they want to pay, and they don't want to pay $200 for something they can get for $50. They just don't want to do it. We can say anything we want to say to them. Mm-hmm. We think they just don't want it. They're gonna go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then which is fine. People are gonna sell to them anyway. Especially my whole thing is like, it's a pop-up tent. People use these tents everywhere. They use them on the beaches and stuff. Specifically, sometimes people just don't want the tent there just because they just want to put it up later when they put everything else up. Or if it's just truly, when we tell people if it's just for shade, then this is technically just one of the best options you can have.
Yeah.
Just for shade. Now if you're trying to do what people do earlier and channels like, oh, well, hey, the tent's not there. It's like, yeah, 65 mile an hour winds. He said, oh, it doesn't hold that. I was like, have you ever seen one that hold that? He's saying, like, not really. But I thought because you guys set it up, it'll be like, well, are the stakes still on the ground? Yeah, the stakes are on the ground, but the tenth, you know, being on the door trying to get in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but, stuff like that. I mean, but and I think we have experience that, you know, and also it's not every time they go out this happens. I mean, a lot of people have, you know, common sense, but everybody's different. Every customer is different. But for the most part, we try to have a solution for whatever they need or what they want to do. You know? Yeah. That's what I like about us. Even so, like, we were always changing, listening to the customers is really key because, you know, obviously we want as much money out of them as we can. But at the same time, you know, we want to listen to what they truly want. And that's one of the things that I'd say, you know, that they actually wanted is pop-up tents.
Yeah. I feel like we influence more of the market. I see other people now who didn't offer pop-up tents offer pop-up tents now.
Oh, man, I've seen all sorts of stuff. Like, even throne chairs. Like, people didn't have throne chairs, and now all of a sudden they have them.
Yeah.
I think it was us and another company, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Like, that's super cool. Like, I see other people. Obviously, they're watching us. So, and then, hey, maybe even they're listening to us.
Yeah.
So, if you're listening to us, shoot us a like.
Yeah. And then the next thing is kind of like the, I think the main thing we kind of fixed was our profitability, making sure everything we do was profitable. We had this one guy who told one of our employees from another company, he said, hey, you guys are killing us on stuff. Remember you saying that? Because the prices of everything he had. So, never mind, I think our prices were lower. We didn't raise our price that much on that part, but we raised enough where we can be profitable. And I'm pretty sure we put our numbers up to almost anybody's, and you can see it on there, especially on a per job basis. Overall, across the whole board, if they have that number, but yeah, but I did see, like, I remember he said that to us, and he wanted us to raise our prices for certain things so they can compete. And I am a big component of, obviously, like, if you don't want to take away from the market and stuff like that too, like, but if you can do something three times cheaper than someone else can do it, and you see an opportunity in there to basically be able to, you know, come in $5 shorter and you'll get, you know, five times more clients, go ahead and get your five times more clients on there. Now, if you're out there selling $1 chairs and stuff like that, you're going to run out. 50 cents. You're going to run out. And I'm not going to lie. I realize that stuff evens back out of later on because you can't grow fast. You can't do stuff. You're not going to be doing other things. So that works out. But his thing was just like he thought we should charge more for deliveries. And to be honest, I think he was just pulling his delivery number that they get, like most people do. They're just pulling it out. You know, or you know where, and then and that's just how they come with their number. I don't think they have a lot of stuff behind it. We've literally went through like the thousands of stuff we've had, come up with stuff that fits it and works on it and changes on a regular basis on there. My whole point is not trying to kill people on delivery too as well. I mean, y'all might think it's killing because it's $90 minimum now, but tons of people pay it. So people that I could imagine us paying this, charging as much on a regular basis, and now it's normal.
Yeah,
and everyone does it.
Yeah,
yeah. I just remember he said that to one of our employees and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure our prices are, I seen one's close. It's not that far off. I don't actually know what exactly he was talking about specifically. So I on that, but I thought that was interesting. But we did work a lot of time specifically on getting our systems, our profitability systems better and tracking it on it more. And if you track these numbers and all these numbers across, you'll just do better. But as I say, we got like so much stuff we can go over. One thing I do want to kind of tell you guys, if you know a business or know someone who's looking to possibly sell their rental business and they make at least $300,000 a year and then they have employees, not just by themselves, please reach out to us. We can talk to them. We are looking to acquire a couple companies in the next year, you know, especially if someone's looking to retire and make some money while they still are in retirement and not have to deal with any issues. Please reach out to us, to me and Eddie, so we can talk to you and see how if we can work on something. But other than that, guys, I want to say thank you guys for watching. We're going to do a couple more episodes like this because just so much information. Maybe this might be another episode we do once a week. But Eddie's getting tired. The light's getting low. Wake up, wake up.
Oh.
Wake up. What's that song? Wake up, wake up, wake up. But other than that, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Take care.
Thank you guys for listening to the Rental Boys podcast. If you haven't already, please drop a review for us. You know, we would love to hear from you. And I think somewhere on here, you can leave messages, you know, hit that up too as well, and subscribe and come back for more. We'll see you guys in the next episode.